Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be here tonight to sing praises to God. It's good to see everybody. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Sitting there singing that last song, I know that we heard a lot today about coming to Christ. I couldn't help but thinking, you know, it said, when the ransom get home, what a joy that will be. And in reality, there's going to be a joy unspeakable. It'll be something that we won't be able to comprehend. But I had to think somehow the Lord's going to make it possible that we will be able to go there and there will be no pain. There will be no pain about a loved one that didn't make it or something like that. And I had to think about that tonight. We heard clear salvation message today, and I pondered on what to share tonight. And a lot of the songs we sung tonight were pointing in that direction. And the call went out today, and I'm sure we've all heard it. You've all heard it. But I had to think of a story, not a story, but something that I was talking to a gentleman from Worthington a couple of weeks ago. Name was Melvin Yoder, and he just lost a son. Many of you all know him. I remember that incident where his son was on the way home from work. I'm thinking he was 19, 20, somewhere right around that age. His life was snatched away from him in a moment. It happened so fast, and it was gone. The next time they saw him, he was in a casket in front of a church house. And I asked him something. I said, do you have any words of what goes through your mind? What happens? What do you think about? And one of the things he told me is he said, if you could tell every young person that you see that the best gift that you can give your parents is to never let that happen where when they open that door and they look at you and they don't know for sure where you were at. I know that's not in our control. That's your decision in God's spirit. But he said, please. He said that would be something that he would beg of every young person. Give your parents that gift, that when they open the lid on that coffin, that they can look there and say, things weren't always perfect, but he loved the Lord Jesus. He said, my son did that. He said, we could look at it, and we knew that he went to be with the Lord. And it happened really fast for him. He died very quickly, and that could happen to each one of us anytime. We all know that. But could we maybe stand? You've been sitting for a while, and we'd have a prayer together. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here tonight, Lord, to sing songs of praises to you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, for changing our vile hearts and our affections and putting a song in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the ability to be able to worship you from our hearts this evening. And may you get that, Lord. That you would receive the glory that is due unto your name. So tonight, as we take a break from our singing and worship to you, and we meditate upon your word, I pray that these few moments tonight here, Lord, could be a blessing to us, to the congregation, to those who hear. I pray, Father, that it would minister grace to the hearer, that you would put a door on my lips and keep the door of my lips, Lord, from speaking words that are not necessary, Lord, words that would be of my own making. But, Lord, simply words from you is what I desire to speak of this evening. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for the gift of eternal life tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. As I was thinking about what to share, there's a phrase went through my mind sometime yesterday. Don't know how it's all going to come out, but I was wrestling between a few different things to share, but this is what I come clear on. The battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. And I'm not a psychiatrist by any means, but I'm going to draw something on the board.
And I borrowed this, and I'm sure many of you have probably seen this illustration. So this is nothing I've come up with because I wouldn't be smart enough for that. But we have all heard that our makeup is of three things, and it's body, soul, and spirit. And I've seen this drawn before, and the outer layer is the body. And that center one would be our soul, and the inner one is our spirit. And tonight, I'd like to talk about this little circle right here in our lives. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but what you see out here is kind of when I look at you, this is what I see. And we all know that. I see the body. But the mind is an amazing thing that God created that scientists, psychologists, nobody can figure it out. If you'd ask Google, where's the mind? They say it's somewhere inside of a person. But it's not a tangible organ. But it's some miraculous thing that is within us that we get to have and that we get to function by. But in that, I think there are two very powerful forces in this world. We all know that. It's the devil and it's the Lord God in heaven that have an interest in this being, the crown of his creation, you and I tonight. He has an interest in that. And they both have an interest in controlling your mind. So how does that all happen? So I broke it up into two aspects. What is the carnal mind's battle is the first thing I briefly like to look at. But my heart would be to minister to the believer tonight. The Christian's battle is what we'll look at. So we'll briefly look at the carnal mind's battle. What is the carnal mind's battle? And I like to think about when you sat in here this morning, and if you're not a Christian, if you're not right with God, there was a battle. And the one thing you battled was you had to battle conviction. Because if you're a believer in here this morning, you can always point back to a time in your life where you sat under the gospel. The preacher was preaching. Maybe they weren't even believers, but I remember sitting under my grandpa's preaching. He preached hellfire and brimstone. He made it real to me. He made it so real to me that I would go home and I would build a fire and I would walk as close to that fire as I possibly could to see if I could actually, how much I could stand. Never touched it. I wanted to see, could I tolerate hell? I was thinking of these things as a young man that had no hope of eternal life, had no idea about the gospel. He told me that sin went to hell, and I remembered that. So I tried to do that, but you pushed away that conviction. You just pushed it away. So the battle of the carnal mind is you resist. The devil has control of it, so you push it away. You resist conviction. You don't try to retain God in your knowledge, as the scripture says in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. You don't want to retain God in your knowledge. The devil would like for you to not even think. He doesn't want you to think. And I've told people, I shared with a guy, we were doing a roof for him the other day, and he came out of the house and he wanted to talk to me, and I chatted with him a little bit, and then I asked him about his soul, about Jesus, what he thinks about Jesus. And I said, what do you think about dying? He goes, I don't like thinking about that. And that's what the old devil, he loves to do. He likes to take your mind away from the reality. None of us are going to breathe for eternity on this earth. We're all going to die someday. We're all going to take our last breath someday, and we're all going to stand before God someday, whether you want to think about it or whether you don't. That is a reality, and that's something that will actually happen. But the devil wants to numb that fact, and he does it by many, many things. And I've said this, and you've heard it before, but in our day, didn't have electricity. You had to go out and do your... And I shared this with this gentleman. When I got done sinning on the weekend or on a weeknight, I had to go home. I had to lay in my bed. And I know this. You do too. But it's maybe in a different place.
I had to go home and I had to lay down in bed at night and I had to think. I couldn't stop it. My dad and mom wouldn't let us have these devices and things that we could do to plug into our ears and drown out the conviction with music and you name it. We didn't have that. So we had to sit there in our dark bedroom and think about our soul. And oh, I prayed. I prayed that God would show me that I could go to heaven when I die. And many of you all heard my testimony. I don't have to share that. But it's reality. But today he likes to make you very busy. He wants to cause your life to be so full as an unbeliever that you can sit under preaching and get outside and get on your device and listen to your music and do all kinds of stuff. That's what the battle of the carnal mind is. You push away. You do all you can. But if you ever come to a place where you're really tired of it, God stands there with open arms. I read that account in Matthew chapter 13. I think it was in the parable of the wedding feast. When he went out and he told all the people to come. And nobody come. And I think in Luke it says in that there was plenty of room for everybody. They invited the people from the highways and the byways and them guys all came. And he said, yet there was plenty of room. And as Nate was preaching about the ark today, I had to think when Noah's ark that actually floated on the waters was probably not near big enough to hold the entire world's earth's population at that time. But I like to think of this, and this is speculation, and I do this sometimes, I imagine. I like to think that God would have built a couple more if people would have come. Because he has a redemptive heart. When there's a broken situation, when there's a situation that you're shattered by, sin happened, and you don't know what to do about it, he loves to restore. He loves to restore things and bring it to a place of reality and a new place in your life. But remember that. So if you're ever tempted to turn on the music, turn on the video, check my social media status, think about that. There's a reason you're wanting to do that. And that's because you want to push away that conviction. But one day you won't be able to do that. Have a Muslim friend in Fort Wayne. His cousin's mother-in-law just died. She was 90-some years old. And I had to think about that. 90 years old. But yet, just like that, she stood before God. She was a Muslim. If she never heard the gospel, tragedy awaits her soul for all eternity. For all eternity. You can have 70 years of absolute fun on this earth, walking with the devil, never have a problem in your life. But when you face God, and God says, turn away from me, I never knew you, there will be an eternity that awaits your soul. That'll make 70 years look like a drop in the ocean. So the call went out this morning, and I want to, that's the battle of the Christian's mind. You don't have to battle long. I remember that battle one Sunday morning. I was ready to go to church, and there was a battle in my mind. I was living in sin. I was so sick of it. It hurt so bad. I didn't want it anymore. I had friends in my life that had to go if I did this, but I was tired of sin. I was at the bottom of the barrel. And the Bible says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's one Bible verse I knew. Alan Troyer taught me that verse. He says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And I dropped down on my, dad and mom had already went to church, and I dropped down on my knees and I cried out to God. I said it real loud because I thought that's what it meant. But God heard me. That was a turning point in my life. So the battle of that carnal mind, don't make it a battle. Don't make it a battle. So the battle of the Christian's mind is what something I'd like to focus on just a little bit more here tonight. And I'd like to focus, as this here picture, the spirit of man, it says the Bible, when he created, the Bible says that when God made man, he breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And there was a spirit put within a man that'll never die. And I like to think that if this here gets converted inside of a person's heart, you're safe. If God gets a hold of your spirit and changes your heart, your vile heart, if your heart is turned to him, you're safe. God can use you and God can protect you. If you continue to look to Jesus, you can be saved. So those that may struggle, I have never, I say this very carefully,
I have had intense battles in my Christian life, but never to the extent that some of you have all faced. So I cautiously say that. The Lord could allow me to go through something, and I want to be careful. But I'm grateful. My wife and I have went through some battles of our mind that we didn't know which way to turn. And that's what that was happening right there. And the devil was trying to steal our mind and our will and our emotions to change this conversion that happened right here. I'd like to tell a story. Most of you know this story, and I was going to read it, but I didn't bring it. Or I don't think of it. I was going to copy it on a piece of paper, and I didn't do that. But there was just the war that we're having in Iran right now. A lot of you heard of that miraculous or that really amazing rescue that happened of those two Air Force pilots that went down. They got shot down over Iran, and they catapulted out of their jets, and they landed on the ground. And just like that, the American-based military was alerted that there's two pilots down. And they were, instantly they knew where they were at. So they went in for a rescue. And the one pilot was rescued immediately. The other one was catapulted some 40 miles away from the wreckage, so they didn't know exactly where he was at. So they spent 2 days trying to find this guy. And after a long search, 2 days of searching for this guy, they found him, and they brought him back home. Two men that were in enemy territory, and this caught my attention. I'm not promoting the war in Iran or anything of that, but this kind of earthly rescue caught my attention. Two men and the entire U.S. military went after him. I shouldn't say the entire U.S., but the focus was there. We have two of our men that are down, and we're going to spend whatever we have to get them out. I looked up. They spent between $200 to $500 million to rescue these two men, and they found them. I like to liken that to the battle of our mind a little bit, and I didn't have time to think it all through, so there may be a lot of holes in this illustration. But you as a Christian may get shot down someday. Maybe you're shot down. Maybe something happened, and you're shot down. But I'd like to tell you something. The moment that happens, God in heaven's alerted. He knows. The main source of who you're fighting for knows when you're affected. He knows when there's a battle in your mind. He knows when the old devil is trying to take your mind and warp it and twist it and get you away from God. And he's alerted, and he sends more than $200 to $500 million to rescue you. He wants to deliver you, and he'll do all that he can if we can keep our hearts turned to him. There's some scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-10. I'd like to read. I know I didn't read any scriptures here yet tonight. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse starting verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The contrast between the battle of the carnal mind versus the battle of the spiritual mind, and we all know this. I'm not sharing anything new with you tonight. I might just be, I want to try to be just a bit of an encouragement, because I know that Christians if I can say this right, Christians can get discouraged, and they can weaken. The enemy can cause us to be derailed at times. Before you're a Christian, the devil will tell you one thing. He'll tell you you're a good person. He told me that. So you don't do what your friend does. He's got
beer right in his bedroom. You don't have that. You're a pretty good guy. You pray every night. You do that. You even pray in German. I did that. I didn't know how else to pray. I thought that's the only way God heard me. And he tells me those kind of things as an unconverted, but you're good enough. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't get radical. You're fine. And he tells you that maybe in your mind, in that inner circle, the way he just speaks to your mind, he bombards you with thoughts, or maybe he uses a friend. He used a friend to tell me, Josh, don't be so radical. Just, you're fine. You're a good guy. You don't need to change all this stuff. And I said, no, I really want to change life. But the moment you get converted, it's amazing how fast he can change that accusation. And he can tell you, man, you are a really bad guy. Look at all you did. You think God could forgive you for all that? I mean, you don't have any assurance of salvation. He just makes you feel like nothing. But when God's got a hold of you, you're Christ's. He has no value in that. But when you're his, he places a lot of value in it. If that makes sense, if I'm trying to say something. When you are Christ, the devil doesn't want that. He wants you back to where he can actually value you because you're his own. And that is a beautiful thing that God does to you. He doesn't do that. When you're an unconverted person, when you're not walking with him, he doesn't degrade. He tells you where you stand in his word. He says what happens to the wicked. But he also says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So when those things happen to us, when we're faced with, we hear a message that kind of uproots our confidence in our salvation, there's an element of that story that I want to point out. As a Christian, when you're faced with an accusation from the devil in your mind, you're not good enough. You didn't confess that right. You didn't do something right in your Christian life. You can check this part right here. And that downed airman, who was he calling to? He had technology on him that he could push buttons and send signals, not to Iran, but to America. And as a Christian, when you're down, what happens deep down in your spirit? You're God-fearing, right? You want to follow God. You want to do what God wants you to do. You don't want to go the way of the devil. So take courage. When that battle is happening in your mind, that if your spirit is changed and your heart is looking to Jesus, you'll be all right. God will take you through. He'll lead you through. There's a couple of verses I want to share in closing. I didn't get through all my Bible verses that I had wrote down. I apologize. But Romans 12, verse 2 simply talks about a renewing of the mind. So if you find yourself struggling and you find a place of victory, and next week you fall down again in your mind, don't let that discourage you too much, because it's a renewing. In Romans 12, 2, it says it's a renewing of the mind. It's a process. It's something that is continuing to happen until Jesus comes back or we die. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 you don't have to turn that. We all know that song, or that we sing that song. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And when the mind is in turmoil right here, and you don't know which way to turn, rest. If your spirit is turned to God, just stay there. I heard a man say he had to fall asleep one night, and all he could say was, Jesus, 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 because the devil was attacking in such a major way. And we face some of those things sometimes. Just cling to Christ, your shepherd, the one who loves you, the one who spent more than $500 million to rescue your soul. He gave his life through Jesus Christ. He gave his life for you. And he also allowed his son to live on this earth, to experience life among people for 30-some years, so that when he goes back to heaven and he's alive, seated at the right hand of the Father tonight, this very night, he knows the intimate part of your being. He knows what's going on in your soul. And he can say, Father, I know what that's like. I know what that turmoil is like. It's hard. And he can pray for you. It says he does that. The Bible says he maketh intercession for the saints today. So that's always been an encouragement to me, to know that Jesus Christ is not sitting up there watching you and just waiting till you goof up. And then he wipes you out. No, he's a shepherd. He's a father. He wants to lead you, guide you, and direct you. Closing verses in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 4. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee and called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, and they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom and Ethiopia and Sepah for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. That verse caught my attention. Since thou wast precious in my sight, I have loved thee. So if I can let the Lord tell you one thing tonight, that he loves you. He loves you deeply, and he cares for you. We can tell our children that, and they know that. They know when daddy and mommy love them, when we have to bring discipline and we look at them and it hurts and we say, I love you. And they understand that. They can understand when we do that. So I trust that was an encouragement to you tonight, and I trust that we can go forward and face the week with courage. May God bless you. And if there's anything I said tonight, sometimes I talk faster than my mind goes sometimes. And if I said something that wasn't according to God's word, I'm willing to be taught. So.